From the Findlay Toyota Studio, it's Cofield and Company.
You wanna Tom Brady kiss?
We'll see. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure it's hard to get it right.
All right.
Get me out of here.
It's time for Cofield and Company with Steve Cofield on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, here we go. 5 o'clock hour. Ari's here, freaking out. Cofield, John Von Tobel, Adam Hill, glad to be here. Hopefully entertaining. We got another hour on the way. Tons of NFL news to get to, including the latest rumors of who may be joining Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. Also, Michael Irvin going rogue, I think, and getting himself in trouble with some outlandish statements about Bill O'Brien and DeAndre Hopkins. It's Big Five time.
Battle-born injury lawyers presents the Big Five at Five. Number five.
This company crew is awesome because we have all these different personalities. So earlier in the show, we discussed doomsday supplies. Who from the LV Sports Network would get the doomsday supplies, right? And we had six different categories: water, weapons and ammo, toilet paper, and we also had food. So it was about getting the supplies. So we all had different votes for food. Ari actually had some pretty good logic. You would have picked, you can pop on the mic, you would have picked Ryan McKinnell over me, even though I was shopping a lot. But I'm shopping for stuff that lasts. Like I'm ready to go, right? 3, 4, 5 months. I got stuff that's going to last. Non-perishables. You thought McKinnell, why?
Yeah, I want the finer things in life.
Highfalutin, so all the food he would buy is very expensive. Nice. So you'd eat well for 2 weeks, and then it'd be done.
I'd actually eat better, probably, than I normally do.
Yes, exactly.
Of course, I'd have to. So socialize with Ryan for that meal.
That's a good point. You really want social distancing with Ryan McKinnell. McKinnell took it as, who would be the chef? That's not what we're talking about. So he tweeted something out a little while ago, and he's like, of course the food would be me. Look at these homemade chicken meatballs and homemade sauce. So I fired back. I'm like, Von Tobel's the best chef on the show. You know, Mark McMillan's great, but Mark's not always here. Clearly, John cooks often. He has a passion for it. And the guy who says he's not sensitive just starts to melt down, as he's been doing the last 10 days. Because he also tells me he's not going crazy by being cooped up. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Now, you read, like, between the ego and then whatever he was trying to do to prove a point, McKinnell on the whole food and who would be the chef of the doom, you know, in order, you know, for a whole doomsday Cofield and Company thing. What'd he say?
So he responds, why is that? Because me, JBT, worked at Starbucks. Pretty sure I'm the best cooking host at Lotus. Can anybody else make a roux, a nice pan sauce? Hell, I'm willing to bet 95% of the building has no idea what the smoke point of various oils are. I'm offended. Issue with the tweet is he spelled roux, R-U-E. Roux is spelled R-O-U-X.
Think of the French street. That's how much of a cook I am. French trained. You didn't even spell roux correctly. And like, I'm the one who pointed it out, and I'm not a cook. I'm like, what? Roux?
He's losing his mind. I mean, it was already close anyway. This is just completely...
You think he's like furiously like stirring his homemade
meat sauce
right now?
He's sending us pictures of guns in the middle of the night. He's losing his mind.
Unfriendly times call for unfriendly pictures.
That is a direct quote from a group text. He has completely lost it.
He's going insane, and I'm the one with the kid at home. Like, I'm much more sane.
Kids are fine.
Of course, but like, I mean, there's a 20-minute stretch yesterday. I was like, God, just go in the room.
Yep.
Go eat some soap. What are you doing?
You are the only one in, I'm guessing, in the room right now who's actually tried to cook, like, legit meals the last couple days. Maybe Ari has. I know Adam hasn't because he's got essential work he's got to do.
I sent you guys a picture the other day.
I did. I saw you frying chicken.
Yeah. I made some fried chicken sandwiches. By the way, made my own Cajun seasoning with it as well. So I didn't have actual Cajun seasoning.
K-A-G-I-N?
So, you know, I made up the Cajun seasoning and then, fried up some chicken breasts, made some chicken sandwiches with some sweet potato fries. Those were frozen. I didn't make the sweet potato fries myself. But, yeah. And I also made last night my one box of pasta that I got from the store that was the only one that was left. It was whole grain angel hair.
You're so lucky.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, I started. Yeah. People saw, like, I was out of stores 10 days ago. And I'm telling you, I've been looking for pasta. It's the great pasta shortage of 2020. It's amazing. I went to three stores last night. Like, I tried every kind of store.
Well, you know what's great?
Nothing.
There was, like, literally one box of pasta and one jar of sauce. And I was like, I'll take them. I don't even know what they were. And yeah. I took them. Worked out good, though.
If you get some pasta, get some sausage, you can throw.
Oh, that's right. You got the 8-foot-long sausages that you bought out of desperation.
Yes.
Of course, you don't eat sausage.
That's all they had.
Putz. Next up.
Number four.
Everything's canceled, right? Everything's being canceled. You know, the whole sports world is done. You and I have one thing that we're both irked about. We both have fantasy baseball leagues that were due to draft next weekend. And what's happening with both of us?
Mine,
has there been a change?
Yeah, there's been a change for mine.
Okay.
So I'm in Tony Miller, sportsbook director of the Golden Nugget. I'm in his fantasy baseball league. He actually sent out a group text a couple days ago saying, hey, what do you guys want to do with this? And I was like, no, we push it back. We delay this. You don't want to draft guys right now. And some guy was like, well, what if somebody gets TJ? We're fine. And I'm like, you're not waiting. The way I put it, which I actually won the argument, I was like, MLB is waiting to see what happens with the coronavirus. They're not waiting to see who blows out their elbows for the next 2 weeks, right. Okay? I was like, so you wait until they know when the season starts, and then you do the draft. They canceled it.
It could change strategy.
Yes.
What if they come out and announce a shortened season?
Yeah.
Then you draft then different guys become more or less valuable.
Of course.
I would say closers become more valuable because there's less of a chance over a long period that there's going to be guys available. Like, it changes your strategy.
Low average but high power guys, I think you want to stay away from a little bit because that plays out over time as opposed to over a shorter season.
Absolutely.
Do you have any time tonight?
Yeah.
Can I give you a phone number and you can serve as my fantasy baseball team advisor? And make a call to the commissioner of one of the leagues I'm in who insists that we're drafting next weekend.
Oh, my God.
But don't I know the commissioner? I already have his number.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Group call. I want to be on this. Just to listen.
I can't do this. And I refuse to call and fight about it because I don't care that much. But we shouldn't be drafting next weekend.
Can I just send a generic?
This is insanity.
Can I send a generic tweet and tag him?
Yes.
Like, any league that's drafting in the next month.
Do it right now.
Is just...
Please do it, because it'll start it
and tag him in it.
Yes.
Okay.
Please. Well, I can't do this.
I don't know.
There's
why.
A lot there. There could be money at stake.
There could be money at stake, which is maybe the situation I was in. And then because you start to get the pushback too, and I think this is similar for a lot of people. I think a lot of people are having this issues like with Major League Baseball draft because there are still the people who think, nah, no big deal. Let's just draft. It's like, it is a big deal. Like, even if you don't think it's a big deal to your personal health, like, if you draft a whole bunch of dudes who test positive for this, right? Because they're going to be the first person to go, whoa, my team, you know, I got a bunch of guys who test positive for it. I didn't know.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Of course. That's always how it is. Like, oh, you got to deal with the circumstances, however they are. If you draft in spring training, there could be injuries.
Yep.
Oh, okay, well, you don't know when the season is starting. You have no idea. You don't know how long it's going to be, if they're going to have a season, any of those things.
Please tweet at us if you know anyone else who's still trying to hold a baseball draft for a league that may not start until freaking June. They're trying to hold a baseball draft at the normal time, which would be like next weekend or the weekend after.
Why don't you draft for next year? This is the same thing. You don't know when it's going to start.
God, it's
no
stupid.
Idea.
Number three.
Chargers to stick with Tyrod Taylor as starter in 2020.
Go ahead, I got nothing.
Adam Hill doing victory laps. Are you sure?
Go ahead.
Are you sure you want to do a victory lap? This is what these headlines all over the place are based on. Ian Rappaport, with Tom Brady headed to the Bucs, the Chargers are not expected to sign or trade for a veteran quarterback. I'm told they are moving forward with Tyrod Taylor for 2020. Everyone is running with this. I don't believe it. I don't believe him as a source. He's the one who had Antonio Brown for a night landing in Buffalo.
Sure.
And I also don't believe that he's being told the truth that this is what he's hearing.
Yeah, I don't think this is a end-all, be-all.
Why did everyone write stories today as if it's definitive based on this guy's report? Tyrod Taylor, starting quarterback for the Chargers. He's QB1.
Yeah, I mean, no, I thought that before. So, I mean, his tweet today was just, yeah, of course, to me. But I still think they're going to be – every team is active all the time.
They're going – things will work out where there's going to be a decent quarterback or two without a chair.
Right. Yeah, and that's what I'm saying.
And then the price may be nothing. If no one goes out and aggressively seeks Andy Dalton, if you can get Andy Dalton for what freaking Chicago just got Foles today for a fourth-round pick, if Andy Dalton is a fourth- or fifth-round pick – the Chargers are getting Andy Dalton. to be in the mix.
Wait, they're gonna look at guys. Now,
he says he's quarterback one, that they're not looking for a veteran quarterback.
Now listen, this somebody said, you know, somebody tweeted out today that, you know, they're gonna, this is what the plan that they've settled for is. Now, who in the organization?
Mm-hmm.
The head coach wanted Tyrod Taylor to be the starter last year. Wasn't allowed to do that.
What does what does the owner want?
I'm sure that Trump somebody that sometimes sells tickets.
Yeah. Doesn't, I mean, Andy Dalton's not going to sell tickets. I'll tell you who might sell a few.
Cam Newton?
Yep.
Jameis?
Right. But, I mean,
again, what if Jameis Winston is available on a one-year deal for $16 million? Now, I don't know what the cap situation is right now for the Chargers after today, but what if he's super cheap?
To me, a guy like Jameis, yeah, maybe he – and that's why I don't take this report for face value. You never know who's going to come available. Jameis could go to a different team, and then all of a sudden there's like a star available. You don't know who's going to be out there. Could Carr be available at some point? Maybe they want to go with him. I don't know. Like, there's all kinds of things that could change. So I think right now their plan is they're going to draft a quarterback at number 6, either Herbert or Tua. It would be their plan, and develop him, and Tyrod's a starter until then. And that's what the plan is going forward. But you don't know who's going to be available tomorrow, next week, next month. You don't know there's going to be a season. So I guess you can throw out all of that stuff. But yeah, I'm sure they're going to continue to look. But as of now, to me, Anthony Lynn, the head coach, is getting his wish. He's always wanted Tyrod Taylor to be the starter. That was always his plan. And he's going to go forward with that. It could be Anthony Lynn telling Rappaport that. Anthony Lynn's like, hey, our plan is to go with Tyrod Taylor. Yeah, your plan has always been to go with Tyrod Taylor. What is the team's plan?
Let's assume that Tyrod is the starter for 2020. This isn't really a victory review, is it, Adam? Like, he's clearly a stopgap. He's not their plans for the future.
Well, I mean, the plan would be to draft either Tua or Herbert, and they're eventually right. The starter. I think, you know, Herbert probably more NFL-ready right now, Tua.
But what I'm saying is, like, you've been adamant that Tyrod was the quarterback of the future for the Chargers. That's clearly not the case.
Well,
he's not the guy they're going to build around for the next 4 or 5 years.
No, but to me, if Tyrod Taylor's a starter, he's the starter until the rookie is completely ready or they're out of the playoff race. And if Tyrod Taylor's starting for that team, they're not falling out of the playoff race.
Oh, I would agree with that. He's much better than Phillip Rivers, who got 25 million.
Of course. I mean, that's a huge upgrade at quarterback. And he's also, you know, Andy Dalton, would they bring him in? Maybe. Tyrod Taylor is absolutely better than Andy Dalton. So that's the...
I don't know.
Was there 1 year as a starter that Dalton was ahead of him and like any of the ratings?
Well, during the break, we'll look at QBR. They're essentially even, if not Dalton being ahead.
Dalton had some pretty good. Like, I feel like Dalton's thrown under the bus. Like, that franchise became
Andy
a mess.
Dalton now.
What does now mean? Sure. But what does now mean? Tannehill. We just saw Ryan Tannehill now. Like, he transformed completely in a different system. Like, there's something to be said about guys.
Tannehill was younger and had more ability. I think Andy Dalton's just done.
I think that's a little. I think that's a little quick. Like, okay, then I could say, like, Tyrod Taylor is done.
No, I don't. No. I
mean, exactly.
There's way less wear and tear on him. Andy Dalton has been beat up and through the ringer forever.
I think everybody's selling Andy Dalton a little short. I think Andy Dalton's a pretty good quarterback. He's had a lot of good years with Cincinnati.
But you saw what he pivoted to there. He's more beat up.
Yeah.
Right.
As opposed to Ryan Tannehill, who played it the same exact amount of time, who is 6 months younger than Andy Dalton.
Yeah. Oops.
Next up.
Number 2.
We're trying to decide.
Tannehill missed years.
But
Tannehill missed the year at least, right?
So that's what we're going to go to now. We can't even do this argument.
Number 2.
I'm not arguing Andy Dalton over Tannehill right now. We can do it later.
I like arguing percentages of health
stuff. I don't know why I bring it up. It's
Well, it's
number
it's
2.
Ridiculous. I know. Just ridiculous.
Well, it's funny because I actually kind of agree with him, but I just disagree number with the two. Fact that Andy Dalton is.
I know. We're listening. We're listening, Ari. I know. What's essential? What's not?
There's a good list that is out. Sorry, I was getting the passing attempt number. He has 1,500 more passing attempts.
Go to break. Dalton reset. Does. We'll come back.
It's the Big 5 at 5, brought to you by Battle Born Injury Lawyers. If you've been injured, call Justin Watkins at Battle Born Injury Lawyers, 570-9000.
How are you able to focus despite the negative fan base, a.k.a. the haters? I don't know. What do we do about the haters? We love them.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me. We pillage, we plunder, we rifle and loot. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho.
It's Cofield and Company.
Don't give a hoot. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. Yo ho, yo ho, a
Pirates.
All right, more of the Big Five to get to. We had to cut it off there abruptly. Clearly, Tom Brady is part of the conversation. We'll get to it if we have time, but Adam Hill has the floor for 3, 2, and 1. So, go ahead.
Number 3.
Tyrod Taylor, go ahead. Close out the hour.
It wasn't about Tyrod Taylor. It was about Andy Dalton and Ryan Tannehill. That was the discussion.
There was a statement made that Tyrod Taylor is clearly better than Andy Dalton.
At this point.
And yeah. I scoffed.
Yeah, at this point, he's the better quarterback.
Okay.
He's also been in the system for a lot longer. And then the debate was with Tannehill not as worn down as Dalton, who has 1,500 more pass attempts than him.
Okay. You win. This is important stuff for the Vegas audience.
It is.
All right, move on.
Number 2.
Man, I think Andy Dalton.
No! No! And I tell myself every time Tyrod Taylor comes up, don't put it in the rundown.
It's a major story today.
I do it to myself. We were talking about what's essential, what's not essential. This one's interesting. I want this stadium finished. We're paying for it. I want the Raiders to have somewhere to play. I want UNLV to have somewhere to play. I want it finished. But if a laborer was like, bro, coronavirus, no.
The Rona.
Yeah, I'm not working. Tommy White of 872 Laborers told Fox 5 that construction is, quote, essential, and it's full steam ahead. What do you think is going to happen here? And where are you on this discussion of the stadium being essential? I want it done.
Me too.
It's a disaster if it doesn't get finished in time for UNLV and the Raiders and Garth Brooks. But we have big things to consider here.
We do. And obviously the public health is of more importance than that. I really don't know, because this was a question that was asked right away when this all started happening. Everything was starting to shut down, and somebody's like, what about the stadium? Now, I thought the bigger issue would be if there's no hotel taxes to be collected, how are they paying for it? Now, I know that there's been some reporting that they had extra already. They already planned for something like this potentially happening, which seems crazy to me. How could you prepare for this? So I thought that'd be a bigger issue. If with everything shut down, you're going to have a bunch of construction workers working on a site and building it?
Now, that said, people need money. They need to make money. Yeah. So I'm not going to stop.
No.
You know, if laborers want to work, they're going to do it. I just wonder once, if one tests positive, then what happens?
It's trouble. And I think that would probably trigger a stoppage on the site, at least for a while. But you're right. I mean, I'm not going to advocate for people to not be able to work. Like, I get what we're doing. I absolutely support all these measures. But at the same time, like, I know a lot of people that are very impacted by not being able to work for a month. I don't want to have even more people not able to work.
Number 1.
If I were a Buccaneers fan, I'd be pretty excited. They're buying tickets. They got Tom Brady. You have a nice combination here, probably for a couple of years, of Bruce Arians and Tom Brady. Clearly, all right, you would think Bruce Arians told Tom Brady, you know what? We're going to work with you. We'll get you the guys you want. Any kind of additions. They have good weapons already. There's speculation out there that some teams backed off because they believe that Brady really wants Antonio Brown. Do you think Bruce Arians agreed? If this was a condition, do you think Bruce Arians agreed to bring in Antonio Brown when he's already got Chris Godwin and Mike Evans and Antonio Brown is Antonio Brown?
Well, the reports that we heard last week were what? The Buccaneers were prepared to go, quote, all in. Whatever it took. So do I think 100%. Part of that was, well, you want to bring some players with you? Okay. And who knows if he actually specified or if he's like, I got some guys I want to bring with me. And the Bucks are like, sure, cool. Hoping it's Gronk.
Yeah. Then he slides the list over.
Oh, no.
He's like,
empty page just with AV.
Here's who I want. This is my list. Antonio Brown.
I think Arians would be down for it. He coached him in Pittsburgh. He knows him. I think Arians would think that he could handle a guy like that.
How?
I think he thinks.
Adams is laughing.
Well, how
does Antonio Brown work with two guys on the team already who are like 85 catch guys? Like, it's awesome. It would be another weapon. But he's going to be happy being the two or the three.
Taking that Adam Humphries role.
You guys are also assuming he would be the two and the three. Like, he's really good. Like, at his peak, Antonio Brown's insanely good.
Sure.
So he would come in and, like, and at the start, he'd be the
two.
What,
are you going to make Mike Evans now, too?
But think about it, though. Who's Tom Brady? Right at this point, Tom Brady doesn't have a relationship with Mike Evans. He doesn't have a relationship with Godwin. And if he has a relationship, what? Why are you looking around?
Wait, are you pitching that he has, what, a couple of weeks with Antonio Brown, so
they
good.
Clearly have some sort of relationship beyond that.
If he wants to bring him with him, he clearly has some sort of relationship.
He likes every tweet.
Yes.
Like, it's a ridiculous. What is he doing?
And if it's
he's like a schoolgirl with him.
If it's the one thing where it's like, hey, if you bring me in, we're a duo, I would think they have some sort of relationship. So, yes, I think it's safe to assume.
And let's also double back to our theory, or at least my theory, that only reason they really signed him was for ticket sales.
Yeah.
So, let's go. Let's bring the circus in. Why not? People are going to watch it.
I already watched every single Tampa Bay Buccaneer game last year.
So did I. It's going to be sad.
Now I'm going to have to watch everyone this year.
All right, we'll continue on the Brady angle, because JVT is saying it's going to make no difference in Tampa. Adam's along the same lines. John wants to talk about creamsicles, and I want to talk about who we're going to be rooting for. Because these guys are lining something up that's just crazy. They're going to make a case that it's now time, if it happens, if Jameis goes to the Patriots, it's time to root for New England.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews.
Mark my words, there is 0.0% chance he's leaving New England. Zero. It may be less than zero. Anybody who's saying that otherwise just wants to see his name in the newspaper, make some headlines for 2 days. That's it. He's not leaving. I guarantee you.
Now, back to Cofield and Company in the Findlay Toyota Studio.
Oops. Tom Brady did leave. He's a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. We'll get into who the Patriots could bring in to replace Brady. Why are you annoyed by the story already, John?
Oh, I mean, there's a lot of things that annoy me. One, I just don't like Tom Brady, so that's like at the top of the list.
But you recognize it's a massive story.
For
both cities.
It's a massive story, obviously, for New England.
Yeah, it's a massive story for New England. Yeah.
Like, it's over, and now people can suffer, finally. Like that stupid kid who was fake crying. But the other part of it is, to me, like when I look at Tampa Bay, like, yeah, ticket sales, you want to go see Tom Brady in your uniform, whatever, that's fine. Like we talked about the win totals earlier, like at Circa, for example, they went from 8.5 under -130 before he announced to 8.5 over -130. It's not that big of a difference to me in terms of their play. They weren't a great defense last year. They were awesome against the run, but they weren't a good secondary. Like, I think they're like a plucky 9-17 with Tom Brady fighting for a wild card spot.
I think what you're essentially getting at is the same thing I thought of. We as media, and it's, I think it's the fans did it, but there's a whole contingent of people acting like the Buccaneers just signed Tom Brady from 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like that's 2007, not what happened.
50 touchdown,
right.
Tom Brady.
That's not what happened. Yeah. They signed an old man who could barely throw the ball, who's very smart, incredibly intelligent, and will make the right decisions. He's still a good player, despite not having the arm strength anymore. But he's not that guy.
Yeah.
He's not 10 years ago Tom Brady. He doesn't automatically make you a contender. They just showed top contenders to beat the Buccaneers in the NFC. Like, everyone is a contender to beat the Buccaneers. They're not the favorite. This is insanity. Why are we treating it like this? I just don't get it.
Their
quarterback threw for 5,000 yards and 33 touchdowns last year. It's not like they did nothing.
And conveniently leaving off 30 interceptions.
Right, but it's not like it was a disaster of a quarterback.
Of course. And by the way, Tampa Bay's offensive line last year gave up 47 sacks. They were 22nd in pass protection last year.
Brady's got that mobility.
There's so many things that go into this as well where I'm just like, I guess it's a name, right? Like, Tom Brady is going to Tampa Bay. It's also fitting because we saw Michael Jordan go to the Washington Wizards in a weird uniform that looked ugly.
That was funny.
And it's Tom Brady, too, going to a weird uniform that looks ugly. But, like, I just don't think it moves the needle in terms of how good can the Tampa Bay Buccaneers be next year. 9-7 wild card team, and I think maybe that's the ceiling.
No, I do hope Bucks Raiders prime time.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Game one?
Game one.
That looked like the least attractive non-con. Out of division, crossover to the NFC game that was going to come here to the stadium.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Wow. Talk about ticket prices for that one.
Well, if the stadium's done, Steve.
Yeah.
True.
Not a laughing matter. Let's hope it gets done. The push for the uniforms, real or not? The Bucks going back to the 70s with the creamsicles?
Yeah, so there's a lot of bring back the creamsicles. And I feel like, and this is just from my knowledge of young Jonathan watching NFL films stuff when I was watching NFL Network. Weren't they hated? Like, the creamsicles were roundly criticized for being absolutely ugly and awful.
I don't think they were hated. I think because there were 70s colors, they got mocked on once we moved on from 70s colors. Also, What do you think about the pirate who's got flair?
I am down with the handsome pirate. Like the handsome
pirate.
I'm down with the handsome pirate. It's just the uniforms themselves. People say it now. On a one-off spot, the creamsicles would look cool. You don't want to look at those for 8 games.
You have Brady in that uniform? Like, come on. Hilarious.
It would be disgusting. You don't want to look at that for 8 games. Okay? Bring back the handsome pirate and make it a little bit more modern. I'm actually in this. It's a very small camp, apparently. And maybe because I just like Jameis Winston so much. I didn't think their last uniforms were that bad last year. No. Like, I actually thought they were kind of cool. But no, we don't want the creamsicles. 1 year, like one game in a primetime spot, maybe like the Raiders game we talked about, both do the old throwbacks, like the old AFL ones, and then throw those ones in as well. But you don't want those for a full schedule. You don't.
Are you guys 100% in on rooting for the Patriots if Jameis Winston lands there?
Yes.
I can promise you, me and John often watch NFL games together on Sundays. I will promise you that our featured game every week will be wherever Jameis is. So, yeah. Yes. I think we're in. I'm in on the Patriots.
1,000%.
Make the right move, Belichick. Let's go.
It's the only move to make. Look at the quarterback landscape. I'm so excited. There's a dude out there that threw for 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns. It's available. What are you doing?
Second most passing yards all time in his first 5 years.
By the way, his former head coach, Bruce Arians, came out and said 10 interceptions were on him and the play calling. So there you go. He threw 20 interceptions last year. So now you got to do is cut down 10, and Belichick can totally do that.
5,000 yards, 33 touchdowns, 20 interceptions.
That's a quote, by the way. Go look it up.
Yahoo, one of the football writers. Winston essentially is the only notable remaining quarterback entering free agency. Also says on the trade market, Andy Dalton, Cam Newton, Jacoby Brissett, and another option for the Patriots could be Chicago's Mitch Trubisky.
Oh, God. You know what? Complete the spiral. Put Trubisky in there.
I would actually also root for that, too.
Me, too. The win total goes down to 3.
Belichick would go insane.
How much would your Mitch bashing come right back in your face if he actually develops Trubisky, uses him the right way? I'm talking about Belichick.
I would love it. I'm all in on the Patriots continuing their dominance of the division now.
As a former Bills fan.
Yeah.
As long as it goes hand in hand with the Buccaneers, like going like 6-10 with Tom Brady. Oh, that'd over be 16
tremendous.
Games.
Tremendous. That'd be so good. But Jameis is the only decision to make. That's the only move to make. Make it happen.
You're a Colts fan, John. I've mentioned all these quarterbacks are available. How much does it sting right now that you paid $25 million to Phillip Rivers?
I hate every second of it. Like, I wanted to get really angry about it, but it's just like, it's just selling defeat. It's just so gross. He sucks, dude. I'm sorry, he does. He threw 23 touchdowns and 20 interceptions last year. The arm strength isn't there. He's not good. And you know, you and I have gotten in the argument. I don't think it was just last year. I think Phillip Rivers gets away with being an extremely underwhelming quarterback for the entirety of his career. For a guy who, there's so many dudes out there who have done more than Phillip Rivers who get more criticism, and every time it's the head coach, it's the franchise, it's whatever. Like, I just don't think he's a good winning quarterback. And last year, the physical part took over. He's not good. He's not mobile, obviously. His arm is dead, and he doesn't make good decisions. I'm out. And you gave him $25 million.
Where's the negative?
This is from Greg Doyle, who was pitching his column. I don't know that he believes this, but he says the Colts found cautious and inaccurate Jacoby Brissett. Well, they found his polar opposite in the daring Phillip Rivers, who takes chances and tosses interceptions, but damn it, he's going to go for it, which is what the Colts just did.
Good job. He's got one double-digit win season in the last, 6 years? Something like that? Come on, man. Is there anybody else who thinks this is actually an upgrade? At the very best...
Oh, yes, it's an upgrade.
No, it's
over
not.
Over Brissett?
No.
Yes.
It's a lateral move at best.
It's an upgrade.
It's fairly lateral.
It's a lateral move at best. Steve, the thing that, it's unfair about Brissett. His play fell off right after he injures his knee. After he severely sprains the MCL, he misses the Dolphins game and the play falls off from there. And everyone's like, this guy doesn't have it. He was really solid before the knee injury. And again, at the very best, it's a lateral move. Because
he also had receiver injuries.
Yeah, like T.Y. Hilton. And to be honest with you, that's a bigger topic too. When your team is so reliant on one wide receiver, that's a big issue. What?
Phillip Rivers, over under 18.5 interceptions next year. I'll take the under.
Over.
I'll take the under because I don't think he's making it through the year.
I think he'll make it through the year.
Don't fist bump.
What are you doing?
I'm kind of covered in multiple areas.
Social distance.
Why are you ruining my bets?
I
just don't want you to fist bump.
I didn't even look at you.
No, you were trying to fist bump. I don't want the contact.
Well, we need some sort of consummation of the bet.
Yeah, we do have to.
So what's the deal?
He's like, it's live radio. Believe me, that doesn't make a difference with one other member of the company who then denies every bet we make.
Oh, well, what's the deal if
he's a good chef, though.
What's the deal on the bet? What's the language if he gets benched or doesn't finish the season?
I don't care.
I think that's what he's counting on. That's what he's counting on.
Well, think about it.
No, I'll think about it. He's not good.
So imagine if you. Well, you know what? Remind me. Was it Unplugged Day last week? Remember, it was like National Unplugged Day, and I was like, what does that mean? Like, cut down on power? No, Unplugged Day is cut yourself off. You know what? Just take a chill day, cut yourself off the phone, all the other technology. What if you did that last week, and you decided to go on vacation, do it for a week, and you had no contact with the outside world? Say you come crawling out of like a long Grand Canyon vacation, and you're like, what is going on? That actually happened to someone.
Join the conversation on Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas.
Hey, hold on. Bagel.
Grab bag. Brought to you by the Golden Nugget Las Vegas.
Don't touch it. Don't even look at it. Oh,
no. Only on ESPN Las Vegas.
What are you doing? Stick your hand in there, Dave.
JVT, question for you.
I'm listening.
Mike wasn't on.
I was like, I'm listening.
Worst behaving crowd generation during this shutdown.
Oh, this
coronavirus.
Is
millennials, boomers, Gen X.
It's boomers.
Adam?
Well, I'm going to say it's young children like JVT's age who have no idea what's going on and they're spreading germs everywhere.
I didn't include that.
But it's definitely the millennials.
Okay. Gen Xer, I forgot this lady's name. She sent out, shout out to Gen X, the only generation who can keep our asses at home without being told, the mother blanking latchkey kids. The generation used to being neglected by effing everyone. We'll be the only ones left.
Okay.
You know what latchkey is?
Is that the thing where you put over the...
Exactly. You don't. Because your generation had to be coddled because that's when parents got really afraid. And they're like, we can't leave kids at home.
What's the latchkey?
I was at home making food at 8, watching my brother who was 5.
What are you talking?
What exactly was that motion?
I don't know. I just made that up. I don't think I was 8.
I was mowing the front and back lawns when I was 7.
Do you still want to step up for millennials?
Yes.
Okay. Here's some millennials who apparently decided they had to go to Miami for spring break.
If I get corona, I get corona. At the end of the day, I'm not going to let it stop me from partying. You know, I've been waiting. We've been waiting for Miami spring break for a while. About 2 months we've had this trip planned. 2-3 months. So we're just out here having a good time. Whatever happens, happens.
Like, it's really messing up with my spring break. What is there to do here other than go to the bars or the beach? And they're closing all of it. It's really messing up. I think they're blowing it way out of proportion. I think it's doing way too much.
Doing us bad. We need a refund. This virus ain't that serious. It's serious. It's more serious things out there like hunger and poverty. We need to address that.
Yeah, they're coming. They're coming. We're going to be poor. No one has jobs. Hungry. Your people. It's only a sampling, John. Travesty.
At least they admit the virus is real. Because the boomers are out there going, you never heard of the flu? We made it through that every single year.
What boomers are doing that?
Oh, my God.
Every boomer in the world.
Have you seen this in your personal life?
It's every boomer that has a Twitter account.
How many of them are on Twitter?
There's a lot.
I'm going to change my following habits.
I assume that everyone that just has the blank avatar is a boomer because they don't know how to switch the avatar.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Bill O'Brien, we got to hit this. I thought this, it's a story because it didn't seem real. I hope shows didn't go crazy about this today and accuse Bill O'Brien of being some massive racist. He may be, for all I know. But when I watch this with Michael Irvin going on Get Up this morning, I'm like, man, did you really hear this? Are you sure this is an accurate account?
He said, Michael, it was a bit of a power struggle there.
Michael Irvin saying he talked to DeAndre Hopkins and he's like, Hop, what really went down with you and Bill O'Brien? Why the hell were you traded for almost nothing?
He said, Michael, it was a bit of a power struggle there because Bill O'Brien thought, Coach O'Brien thought he had too much influence over the locker room. He called DeAndre Hopkins in a meeting to talk about this and to kind of, I guess, hash it out. He started the meeting with telling DeAndre Hopkins this. The last time I had to have a meeting like this, it was with Aaron Hernandez.
Okay, there's so many shocking things about what he just said. One, did Bill O'Brien just put the Patriots in harm's way, saying that he knew about Aaron Hernandez and all of his problems? That's super serious. And then the suggestion that DeAndre Hopkins is somehow on the same path as Aaron Hernandez, like why? Based on what? Is that
too many baby mamas?
This sounds like a guy spouting off because Hopkins has already backed away from it. He's like, I'm fine with Bill O'Brien. Like, what was Michael Irvin doing?
My read from this is that this conversation absolutely happened. And Hopkins is like, yeah, I don't really want to be involved in this. I could have said this if I wanted to. I don't want it out there.
Right.
I was just talking to a guy who happens to be on television. I didn't know he was going to put this out there. But to me, this did happen. And I absolutely believe that it happened. And I don't think Bill O'Brien was saying, I think you're going to murder somebody. I think he's basically just saying, like, hey, like, there are some things that I'm concerned about in your personal life that could affect, you know, how you're standing in this organization. And I think it seems completely inappropriate. But at the same time, like, you could see how it went from what Bill O'Brien thought he was saying to what DeAndre Hopkins thought he was hearing to what him relaying it to Irvin and then him just putting it on TV.
And from there, the meeting just deteriorated. You know, he got into talking about DeAndre Hopkins because DeAndre Hopkins has a few kids and from different women. And he said, you know, he told DeAndre he doesn't like that he has his baby mamas around sometimes.
All right. And obviously there, that can turn into a lot of angles.
Yeah.
Maybe the locker room was just crowded.
Yeah, too many people?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's social distancing.
You're talking about one guy at a time, one lady at a time.
You can't have all these people around.
Please.
Do you think Bill O'Brien ever had a talk with Tom Brady about baby mamas?
No. I doubt it.
You don't know that.
I don't know that Bill O'Brien had said any of this. So you say you believe him. I have no idea. I don't know. To me, it was completely bizarre, and I'm sure people at ESPN are like, "What? What? Wait, what? Like, is this verified? Are you, what?"
Again, it doesn't have to be true.
Yeah,
he had to have actually had the conversation with DeAndre Hopkins, which I believe that he did.
Also, it sounds like he didn't want the baby mamas around. Tom Brady treats his first baby mama like garbage, pretty much, right? So, I don't think she was around.
Bridget,
stick your hand in there, Dave.
Moynihan,
stick your hand in there, Dave.
Go ahead.
All right. Before we hit the break, I mentioned that there are some people out there who went on vacation, cut themselves off from civilization. Jared Leto being one of them. That's not a shocker. The other story emerging is someone went on like a long rafting trip to the Grand Canyon. No communication with the outside world. They come out of the canyon and what?
I think me and John both saw this right before the show. But yeah, 25 days they decided to cut themselves off, go, quote, off the grid. And this is a weird time to be off the grid because 3 weeks ago, the world was a very different place. So they just come out and they're like, wait, what? What's going on?
Driving down the street, nobody's there. Like, that'd be trippy, man.
You go to a restaurant, like, wait, I can't. Why is there no chairs?
So this is an article from the New York Times. And the best part is near the end of the article, they note that shortly after our interview, Mr. Thomas, the person who was interviewed in this, who went to the trip, texted me with a request, quote, forgot to mention this, but my river name is One Chain.
One Chain?
If it's all appropriate to mention that, that would be tight. End quote.
That would be tight. You can picture him, and he sounds like the kind of guy that would have absolutely no idea this was going on in the world.
If you want to picture somebody who'd go off the grid and go rafting for 25 days, like, that's what he looks like. But also, whatever you picture, that's him.
I also feel like this guy wouldn't know even if he wasn't off the grid. Like, he'd be like, what's everybody doing?
Yeah. Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Adam and Ari had concerns about something important with the shutdown. No one working. Most people eventually will not be walking the streets, hanging out. Who are you concerned for?
Well, a lot of people. But
the homeless?
The homeless is the... That was one that walking around last night really hit me. Because I'm thinking about all the industry people, the waiters and waitresses and bartenders and all people like that. But with nobody on the streets at all, there is no... Like, there was a large group of homeless people last night that I was just like, nobody has passed them for 20 minutes. Like, there's going to be nobody out. And I know that, you know, people are like, well, good, get a job anyway. Fine. But it really, really hit me. It hit me. Like, it was tough.
Yeah, I don't know what do you do, right? It's not something we've ever encountered. So what does the city do, so to speak, with the situation? Where do they go? Do they house them somewhere?
What?
Do they let them roam around the streets and infect people?
I don't know.
Let's just be honest.
I don't know.
Well, you could also make the case that maybe they're not infected considering they're not around that many people. But regardless, like, no, they should be taken care of with Ari's point.
Yeah, I mean, but if there's no people around walking, like, there's nobody to ask for money. There's
who's
nobody to
take care of
anything. Yeah, just, it's awful.
We're back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Great job by Ari. I'm sure he loves being in here. We're not distancing enough, but thank you to Ari. Thanks, guys, for coming in. We'll see you.